In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us begin our Advent service this morning in thanksgiving and prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again as we have assembled here to hear the message of your kingdom, we desire to thank and praise you for all that you have done for us, your children. You have given us so many wonderful gifts. You have blessed our lives so beautifully. But there are so many things that we do not even think to thank you for. But we thank you humbly for your protection, your guidance, your grace, your mercy, and all those good things that flow from you. But we pray this morning, dear Father, that you would again comfort us through your word. You would encourage us to believe. You would instruct us in the paths of righteousness. For we endeavor by faith, and we need your help in this endeavor, dear Father. We pray that you would open the eyes of those that have been blinded by sin, so that they could see that there is a place upon the earth, that there is light of your Spirit that can guide even the blind ones to heaven. But we yet turn to thee, dear Father, with that prayer that your Son has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This morning we will pause before the gospel text that has been set aside for this Sunday, this first Sunday of Advent. And the text is found in the 21st chapter according to St. Matthew. We will read the first 11 verses of that 21st chapter, with that hope and prayer that if it would be God's will to open his word this morning, we will consider these words of God. But before we go into the study of this text this morning, dear brothers and sisters, I am in need of the gospel message that can I still believe my doubts forgiven? The words are in Jesus' name as follow. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, The Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell the daughter of Zion, Behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Amen. Before we go into the consideration of this text, I want to bring the greetings of love and God's peace from the believers in Minneapolis, where I served a couple weeks ago on rotation Sunday. They asked that they could bring their greetings here, so it is with joy that I deliver these greetings of God's love and peace. This portion of God's Word is associated with that theme for today, this first Sunday of Advent, where the calendar speaks to us of this theme of Jesus comes in humility. We have heard from this portion of God's Word many times. This portion of God's Word tells about that entry that Jesus, when he came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And oftentimes we hear again of this text on Palm Sunday, the Sunday before Easter. All of God's Word centers around these two things, this coming of Jesus and the fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament, the fulfillment of God's promise, the Savior of this world, how he would come into this world to save us from our sin. And so this narrative, which we have read this morning, is when Jesus was coming now to Jerusalem, and he knew that this was his last week here on the earth. He knew of the writings of Scripture. He knew the pain and suffering that he would have to endure. The disciples, they were people like you and I, and they didn't understand what was taking place or the fullness of the happenings that were taking place around them. Even as I would guess all of us today who don't realize the things that take place, all of the things that take place in this world, because God has allowed them to be such. And so it was that when they came to Jerusalem, Jesus knew the prophecies of the Scriptures. The Bible says that before the world was even created, Jesus was with God. And it's hard for us to put these things in a way that maybe I could say satisfies the mind of man. For we know on Christmas, which is now just a few days away, Jesus was born. He came into this world as a child. And so it's hard for us to understand these things, and it's the full intent that God is. That if Jesus was there with God before the beginning, how is it that he came then as a child? But so it is that these things took place. And because man is such a being that he wants to understand and he wants to make sense of all things. When Jesus was coming now into the city for his last week of his life, there were some that realized he was the Savior, and there were some that thought he was a prophet. And then there was those that thought he was somebody, as they say, that he hath a devil. They couldn't make sense of everything. But so it is that Jesus comes, he came into this world in a lowly way. He was born, as the Bible says, and which we will study more closely in the following weeks, or the coming weeks, that he was born there in that barn or that stable. But so it was for those of the time that Jesus lived. We oftentimes think, at least I will have to say for myself, I've sometimes thought that it would have been easier for me to believe if I could have seen some of the things that others were able to see. But when I look at it from this perspective, that from the carnal ways of my mind, I consider then that why was it that there were so many that did not believe during the time of Jesus, when they could see those things that I wish that I could have seen. And so we can say that faith is independent of our reason. It's a gift from God. It's something we believe. And at the end of our life, we will see the evidence of those things that we've believed. We will see the promise of God. And it's hard for us to fully comprehend that with the minds that God has given us for this life. And so it was that Jesus was coming now to Jerusalem, and he sent two of his disciples to go into the city. And I don't know if they just went into the city of Bethphage or where they went, but Jesus sent two of his disciples away to go get a donkey, the foal of an ass. And these disciples were a little bit concerned with this because they thought that this is kind of a strange thing to be requested of, that they would go into somebody else's farm or building and take of their animals. And Jesus gave them this simple thing to say, that just tell them the Lord hath need of them, and he will allow thee to take these two. So we can say that in the mind of the disciples, these things were such that they didn't quite make sense of them, they still believed. They did as Jesus had asked them to. Is it any different today, dear brothers and sisters? Here in the kingdom of God, do you understand all things? Or do we just live and believe as God's word tells us? even sometimes just letting go of those things that we don't understand. It's more important, dear brothers and sisters, that we believe rather than we understand. We can say that understanding is a blessing from God. But so believing is a greater blessing. If we don't understand, that's okay. But it's what's important is that we believe. We believe God. We believe His Word. We can say in the kingdom of God there's many blessings. We must live our life here on the earth, whether we believe or we do not believe. But when we believe, as the Bible says, then we will be given the blessings of God. God will bless us. He'll bless our life. And I would guess if I asked the elders sitting here in this building this morning that, has God blessed your life? Those that believe. My guess is that they would have to say that, yes, God has blessed. He has blessed. And if you ask them even further, what was it difficult? Were there difficulties in this endeavor? And I would guess they would say, yes, there were many. We as God's children, we can say that God blesses us with faith. He blesses us with understanding. He blesses us when we've fallen into sin. And He also blesses you when you've been obedient to His Word. You young believers here this morning, when you believe, when you live by faith, God will bless you. He will bless your life. He will give you what you need here in this life. You young parents, when you live by faith, you take those children as a blessing from God. God will bless you. He will bless your life. When you're disobedient to God, He doesn't bless the disobedience. He doesn't. He will forgive your disobedience, and that's a good matter for both you and I, dear brothers and sisters. That He will forgive us. But it's good to endeavor by faith, attempting to live in such a manner that's according to God's Word. You will live a more joyful life. We were here this past week, and we heard the singing of joy that sounds forth from the mouths of God's children. Praising God for everything He's done for us. In spite of what we are, oftentimes it seems a rebellious people. Oftentimes maybe it even seems like a stiff-necked people, as the Bible speaks of the Old Testament travelers. But what's important, dear brothers and sisters, is that we submit our will unto God's will. That's a better will than our own, dear brothers and sisters. God has a plan for you. He has a plan for each and every man. His plan is that we would make it to heaven. He wants to see you there in heaven. God came here into this world, and some did not, I would say most, did not recognize Him as God. They didn't look at Him as being God in the second person. Jesus came, as we read here this morning, into Jerusalem. The Bible had foretold generations before that a Savior would be born into this world, that would come into this world. Jesus was now 33 years older, or thereabouts. Now he was coming into Jerusalem for the last week of his life. He had done much work here on the earth. He had done many miracles. He had shown many signs. Even though there were those that seen it, they didn't believe. They didn't believe this was God's Son. What would it take for you, dear brothers and sisters, in order to satisfy your eyes, your mind, what would you need to see? You as God's children, you don't need to see anything. You've just believed. Because God has allowed it to be that way. You've believed everything that happened in these scriptures, that it was true. It took place. And that's enough for you and I. The Bible says that these words were recorded so that others might believe. The disciples seen these things. We've read from the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Matthew seen what happened here. He recorded it in this book so that we might believe today. So there were many generations that lived here on the earth. They didn't see these things that Matthew was able to see and record for us. But they lived by faith, not seeing, but believing. Now these things were taking place. It was the present tense for Matthew and the other disciples and those that were there in the city of Jerusalem. Jesus was coming now to Jerusalem. They seen all these miracles and they thought that now, finally, after all these generations and all these years, Jesus is coming. He's going to be a king for us. There will be no want or shortage. Maybe some of them thought they will no longer have to work because they had seen the miracles that Jesus did. He took a few loaves of bread and a few fishes and he fed thousands. I don't know what they thought. I'm sure there were many, many differing thoughts. Even as we all sit here this morning before God's Word and God opens His Word unto us as individuals and we can see. And so it was that Jesus was coming now to Jerusalem. And when he was come nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, The Lord hath need of them. And straightway, he will send them. So all these things that Jesus was now doing and taking place, things that were taking place, were because here in the Old Testament, God's Word had said everything that Jesus would do. Jesus knew God's Word. Some might say, well, he just did this because he read in God's Word what all these things say. Of course. He was God. God knows everything. God knew what his Word had recorded. Jesus was God's Son. So of course he would do as the Bible says. We're God's children today, dear brothers and sisters. This is what God's Word tells us. And so we believe it. We endeavor to live according to these words because this is God's Word. We don't dispute whether this is God's Word or not. We believe it. That's how the children of God live here in this world. We believe God. We believe His Word. And so it was that these things took place and all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the fowl of an ass. The Old Testament prophets wrote of this happening, and now it was taking place, that Jesus would come now, even as it was told. And so the disciples went, and they did as Jesus commanded them. And they brought the ass and the colt and put on them their clothes, and they sat him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. There were those that now recognized what was taking place. Maybe there was amongst those that were singing these praises to God. If I remember right, this word Hosanna, the same song which we have read this morning, was from the Old Testament prophecies. Hosanna to the Son of David. This word Hosanna means that, pray, God help us. There were those that were singing now openly before this world, God help us. Pray, God help us. We also need help, dear brothers and sisters. We need much help on the way to heaven. But so it is for you and I that God knows it. And He's made ways for us. He's helped us. I would say that there's not one individual that sits here in this building this morning, not one believer that says that I've been able to do this all on my own. I haven't needed any help. We remember from Jesus' time there were those that thought in such a way when they seen all these things that Jesus was doing, and it offended them. They didn't need that kind of help. They must have thought that they were living a way that was in exact accordance with God's word or to God's law. I don't know what they thought, but they certainly didn't need Jesus. They got so tired of his preaching that they put him to death. They didn't want to hear it anymore. They were angry and jealous and all those things that come from sin. They were living by those things. Those things were guiding their heart and their soul. But no, it was that we're speaking about this day that we are waiting for the second coming of Jesus. These things already took place, and we're studying about them here this morning. But now we're living a time of Advent. Advent means, as maybe you boys and girls have been taught there in Sunday school, that Advent means that you're waiting for something, a time of waiting. What are you waiting for? You young boys and girls, what are you waiting for? I would guess that if I asked you this morning that Christmas is now a few days away, and I'd ask what you're waiting for, you're probably going to say that, well, I'm waiting for Christmas. And most of us have that tradition in our homes where on Christmas we give gifts to each other. And so, at least when I was a young boy, I waited for Christmas because I knew there would be something wrapped in a box or something, and I'd get to open it, and it was pretty exciting. And sometimes it seemed like Christmas a long ways. From Thanksgiving to Christmas was a long time. And now it seems like it just goes by too quickly, and I don't get what I want to get done during those days. But so it is that we are waiting also for something. We're no longer waiting for Jesus to come into this world to pay our sin debt. We're waiting for Jesus to come to take us to heaven. That's what we're waiting for. And maybe it will be for you and I that we will see Maybe we'll be the ones that get to see what others have waited for. Even as the disciples were the ones that got to see the fulfillment of God's promise. They got to see Jesus. They got to see God in a second person, His Son. And so it was that when Jesus entered then into Jerusalem, the people sang, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." There were those that heard this singing that taking place there on Palm Sunday. And they were offended at this. They wanted Jesus to make them be quiet. And Jesus says it's not possible for even the stones would cry out. This was God's Son. God sent His Son into this world so that those that believe God would have a Savior. They could see the promise fulfilled, and they could believe in that promise. And by believing in that simple promise of God, they could be acceptable to God through His Spirit. And when He was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" It's apparent they didn't, not everybody knew who this man was. They heard the commotion going on. They heard the praises of the singing of the people. And they asked, "Who is this?" Maybe there's one that is listening this morning or listening over the internet. And you've wondered that, who is the kingdom of God? Where is the kingdom of God? Remember that during Jesus' time that Jesus spoke much of the kingdom of God. It was a precious matter to him. He spoke many parables about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has always been here on the earth. The only way for man to get to heaven is through the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God invites sinners unto repentance. That you can just bring your matters to God, and God will forgive you through His Spirit. His Spirit rests in His kingdom here upon the earth. That's where God's Spirit does His work. God's Spirit doesn't do the work of salvation in other places, only in the kingdom of God. As the Bible says, there's one Spirit, there's one hope, there's one baptism, and one God, the Father of us all. One Christ. And so that one Spirit of God, that one Savior is found in God's kingdom here today. And if you can accept this into your heart, you can believe this simple message of God into your heart this morning. You can believe all of your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and Holy Atonement blood. That is the message that we hear in God's kingdom. That is the message that gives us strength to believe, to endeavor by faith. Dear brothers and sisters, as we wait now this coming of Christmas, coming of the Lord Jesus on the second time, you can rest with this message in your heart this morning that all of your sins have been atoned for. You can believe all of your sins forgiven this morning, dear brothers and sisters, in Jesus' name and Holy Atonement blood. That is the message that gives us strength to believe, gives us power to live according to God's Word. We know from day to day and week to week, our strength seems to falter. We come to the hearing of God's word where God can again sort out those things that have become amiss in our mind. He can sort it all out for us. God knows what each and every man needs to hear. The servants that come to serve, we don't know what you need to hear, but God does. I trust and I believe that God can see into every man's heart. And He knows what every man needs to hear. When Jesus came into the world, the high and the mighty ones of this world had no need of Him. They had their high positions in this life, and they thought those positions were going to be threatened by God, by Jesus. But so it is that Jesus came in a lowly way, so that we as God's children, as faulty as we are, could approach Him. We didn't have to climb those steps up into some high palace and bow before some earthly king, but the threshold of God's kingdom is set low enough that we can even crawl over it. Dear brothers and sisters, it is a good matter for both you and I that Jesus has come into this world. We weren't able to be the ones that seen His coming, but we have believed as the disciples were able to see and believe. We remember after Easter when Jesus had appeared unto His disciples, and then Thomas wasn't there, and the other disciples came and told Thomas that, you know, Jesus was with us. We've seen Him. And Thomas said that, unless I see, I will not believe. And we remember that Jesus didn't leave Thomas in that doubting condition, that were these things really so as the disciples said. But He came to Thomas and He said, Thomas, come hither. Dear brothers and sisters, it's the same way even today sometimes for us, that we're so beset by doubts and we need the encouragement of God's kingdom. We need God to speak to us and the Lord Jesus to invite us to come hither. Come and believe, all of your doubts and sins forgiven. Dear brothers and sisters, let us endeavor on the way to heaven by faith. We don't have to understand everything, but it's a better thing for both you and I that we can just believe. Just believe as children. Those children that you have, you tell them those things that you tell them, and they so quickly want to believe. So it is for us as God's children. We're not fed lies here in God's kingdom, but we're fed the truth, and the truth, as the Bible says, makes us free. Be encouraged, be emboldened to believe, dear brothers and sisters, and to patiently wait for the second coming of the Lord Jesus. He will come. There were those that lived during the time of Jesus, and I suppose they probably didn't expect it that they would be the ones that they could see these things. And so they saw, and many didn't believe. But on the last day when Jesus comes again, He won't come as He came the first time in a lowly way. He will come to judge. And it's a good matter for you and I, dear brothers and sisters, when Jesus comes again, that He will judge us as we have believed. We don't have to answer for all our stumblings and our sins when they're forgiven. Jesus will answer on that day when we go before God, and He will say, as the Bible says, that these are mine, dear Father. I have kept them. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. There are those that have left our midst within the last year or two, and you that have cared for them, you know how they made it to heaven. You've seen their lives, and you've seen their stumblings and their struggles. But how did they make it to heaven? Through the name and blood of Jesus. That's how any one of us will get to heaven. So be encouraged this morning to believe in that simple way. Continue in that same way the others have believed, and you will make it to heaven. Believe, sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us close our service this morning in the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.